One of the most important things about the Adults with Incapacity Act is simply the way that it was made. It was developed in the 1990s through a very detailed and consultative process involving a lot of stakeholders and 4 or 5 years of detailed policy development by the Scottish Law Commission and then the Parliament. So it's a very comprehensive, thought-through piece of legislation which, for its time, was very advanced and very progressive. One of the most significant aspects of that was that the law is based on principles, very important key principles, such as that any intervention should be the least restrictive intervention compatible with achieving the object for the adult, and that there should be the maximum involvement of the adult in the decision-making process. So those things were great at the time, but in some ways the Act has been a victim of its own success. Over the years, there's been a very steady and steep increase in the use of powers of attorney and welfare and financial guardianship, and that has put the system under considerable strain. Mental health officers can't do reports in time. The Office of the Public Guardian struggles to record powers of attorney in time. And frankly, particularly with the demographic increase in older people with dementia, this is an unsustainable model. It's also under considerable challenge because of the developing changes in the understanding of international law and treaties. There are two particular things I would mention. One is the European Convention on Human Rights, and particularly the decision of the Cheshire West case by the Supreme Court, which has greatly broadened the understanding of what constitutes a deprivation of liberty, and that's likely to push up the use of the Adults with Incapacity Act and welfare guardianship even further. And the other pressure, which is actually pushing in a different direction, is from the UN Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities. And the interpretation of that is to challenge any form of substitute decision-making, which is ultimately what the Adults with Incapacity Act is. And the advocates of the convention would also challenge the fact that legal capacity in the AWI Act is linked to mental disability, and would say that the capacity tests in the Act are inherently discriminatory and arbitrary. Now, not all of these challenges, I believe, are entirely well-founded, but there's certainly enough in them to make us think that it's time that we revisited the Adults with Incapacity Act to try and find a more sustainable model, and one that reflects better a focus on maximising people's autonomy rather than finding a way to legitimise the removal of that autonomy. And the other big thing I think will happen over the next few years is a greater convergence of incapacity and mental health law into a single legal framework, as has already happened, at least in legislative terms, if not in implementation, in Northern Ireland.